Today's shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Gimel, Amud Aleph, the top line, Lishna Achrina, Amri Lo. As we have been discussing from when we began learning the Mishnah at the beginning of the Masechta, there is a debate if Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek or Hezek Riyah Loi Shmei Hezek. What is the status regarding Hezek Riyah? And actually, this first piece of Gemara that we learned in today's shir is essentially a repetition of what we learned in the previous year. Lishna Achrina Amri Lo, in this version, Savrua, what they assumed, that what is the definition, as a Masechta began with the words, Hashutfin Shirot Shalasis Mechitza, they assumed that what is the definition of Mechitza Plukta, a division, Kedeksiv, as the Pasuk says, the divided the congregation. And here we have a raya to a point that was made in the previous year, that the word savrua can be used even regarding an opinion which remains in the maskana. Because in this lishna achrina, the opinion we're now citing holds that hezek riyah shmei hezek. And as we said in the previous year, the halacha indeed is that Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek. And yet the Gemara is using that terminology. And the way to understand the Mishnah is V'kivin deratzu, since both parties agreed to divide the property, once they divide the property, they could compel each other to build this wall, because Alma Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek. Ema, suggests the Gemara, maybe the way to understand the Mishnah is my Mechitza. The definition of Mechitza means Guda, a wall. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Mechitza is a Kerem Shnifritza. If there was a wall dividing a grain field and a vineyard, and that wall becomes breached, Oymel Agdar, the owner of the grain field can say to the owner of the vineyard, repair the wall. Nifritza, if it was breached again, Oymel Agdar, again he tells him to repair it. Nishyan Shemen of Lagodra, but if he doesn't repair it, Hareza Kidesh, if the vineyard causes the grain to grow by 200th, we have a situation of Kliyim, V'chai B'chriyusa, and the owner of the vineyard is now responsible for the loss that the owner of the grain field will incur. V'tama, and what's the reason that, so the way to understand the Mishnah, is that they agreed to build a wall. So the only reason the wall has to be built is the Ratzu, because both of these partners agreed to build that wall. Hala Ratzu, if they would not agree to build that wall, we won't compel them to build such a wall. Alma, obviously our Mishnah is of the opinion that Hezek Riyah, lo Shmei Hezek. Ask the Gemara if that's the way to understand the Mishnah. Yehachi, the Mishnah began, Hashut Fim Shirotzu Lasas Mechitza. And we're saying that the word Mechitza means a wall. And the Mishnah means that the Shutfim agreed to build a wall. And the Mishnah continues saying, Boinen as a Kaisel. They build a wall. Why does the Mishnah repeat the word Kaisel? It's very poor wording. We already know that we're speaking about that wall. Shouldn't the Mishnah have used the word Boinen Oisoi Mibayale? So isn't that a question on this opinion? Ella says the Gemara, this is why you're saying the other opinion that says mechitza means a division is a better explanation. El mai plukta, it means a division. Yehachi, let's understand the Mishnah. Shirat Shalasis mechitza, the Mishnah says that they wanted to make a division. If Shirat Shalasis mechitza, if what the Mishnah means is that they wanted to divide, wouldn't it be more proper for the Mishnah to say Shiratzu Lachzois Mibayale? Answers the Gemara, you're correct. That's what the Mishnah ought to have said if it means that they want to make a division. However, Kadami Inchi, the Mishnah uses the words that people many times use. Kadami Inchi is people say, Ton Navit Pelukta, let's go and make a division. And that's why the Mishnah used this wording, and that's not a question. Ask the Gemara, But if we're going to hold the Hezek Ria, Shmei Hezek, ask the Gemara, my ear rotzu. What does the Mishnah speak specifically? Where they agreed to divide the courtyard? I feel like rotzu nami. If Hezek Ria, Shmei Hezek, then the halacha is you have to build that wall. Why does it require their consent? Answers the Gemara. Amar of Asi, Amar of Yoichanan, Mishnah saying Nubish Aimbay Din Chalukah. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the courtyard is not large enough that it should be divided, because as we're going to learn later, the shear is that it should be four amis for each partner, for who the Ratzah. And therefore, the Mishnah's halacha that they could force each other only is if they agree to divide it, because they're not really obligated to divide this courtyard. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmon, what is the Mishnah teaching us that we haven't learned already? Is the Mishnah teaching us the Kiles by Din Chalukah, if the courtyard is not large enough that it to be divided, Kirotsu, but if they agree to divide it anyway, Pligi, they do so? Tanina, haven't we learned so explicitly in a Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says, Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn it, on Daf Yud Aleph, Emesai, when does a small courtyard remain whole? Bizman Shein Shneim Rotzim, when both parties aren't interested in dividing it. Ah, Bizman Shneim Rotzim, when both parties agree to divide it. I feel Pachsmikan, even if it's smaller than the normal area that has to be divided, Chokim. So if the entire point of our Mishnah is to teach us that a small courtyard is divided, that we already learned from the next Mishnah. Says Taisus, but maybe our Mishnah is teaching us that when you have a small courtyard that they agreed to divide, the chiddush of our Mishnah is that all of the halachas in such a small courtyard, that all of the halachas of Hezek Ria will apply. Answers Taisus that indeed that is a chiddush that we can attribute to our Mishnah, but to say that our Mishnah is teaching us that specific rule, that when we have a small courtyard that there was an agreement to divide, the halachas of Hezek Ria apply, our Gemara is assuming that it would be a bigger chiddush to tell us that in every courtyard that is of the proper size to be divided, Hezek Ria plays a role. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, shouldn't the Mishnah have spoken about a regular courtyard to teach us the halacha of Hezek Ria? The Ramban says, in answer to this question, that included in that Mishnah, when it says that when it's a small courtyard, if the partners agree to divide it, the Mishnah says we build that, we divide it, and all of the halachas of dividing a courtyard apply. So there's nothing new in our Mishnah, therefore, according to the Ramban's explanation, when we say that the Mishnah is speaking about a small courtyard. Answers the Gemara, Ima Hasam, if we only had that Mishnah, have a mina filapox mikan. We would say that when we have a small courtyard that was agreed to be divided, you use a mesipis b'alma. A boundary marker is enough to prevent, to divide it. Kamash malan hacha, that's why our Mishnah teaches us that it's divided, and it's divided kaisel with a wall. Ask the Gemara of Lifni Havalolos Be'ach. So all of the halachas that are really to be learned regarding a small courtyard already included in our Mishnah, that a small courtyard, if both parties agree to divide it, it should be divided, and it should be divided because of Hezek Ria with a full-fledged wall. What is that Mishnah coming to teach us that we don't know from our Mishnah already? Answers the Gemara Sefer Tzuchelei. Regarding what the halacha is regarding a small courtyard, there actually is no chiddush in that Mishnah. The chiddush is regarding the next din of that Mishnah, where it says the kisvei kodesh. If two partners own kisvei kodesh together, even if they both agree to divide it, the halacha is loyach loyku. They should not be divided because it's not proper respect to divide kisvei kodesh. In the yeshivas, the custom always was that we don't learn gemaras that are in parentheses. Gemaras in brackets we learned, but not gemaras in parentheses. So we're going to skip, which is anyway the opinion of most Achronim, the next piece to Gemara in parentheses, and start the Ma'il Kimtel Masnisin. How have we understood, as we just finished saying, what is our Mishnah discussing? A situation b'she'ein by din chalukah, where the courtyard is not that large that it should be subject to be divided. Ask the Gemara, b'she'ein by din chalukah, if our Mishnah is referring to a small courtyard, ikirats mayhava, what does it matter that they agree to divide it? Nehedrabai, they should have the ability to retract from their agreement. And as Tosfos explains, the Gemara here in the Havamina assumes that even if a kinyan was made between the parties, that kinyan shouldn't be valid because the kinyan was not made on anything tangible, and a kinyan on something intangible is not a valid kinyan. Then the Mukhi Yosef explains the Gemara that the Gemara's question is that it seems that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there was no kinyan made. And if there was no kinyan made, both parties should be able to retract. That's the way the Gemara's question is. There's also Machlokes Rishonim, according to which opinion the Gemara's question is following. Some Rishonim say that according to the Man D'Omer, that Hezek Ria is not considered Hezek. And the Mishnah says, and the explanation in the Mishnah of Ashut from Shirotu Lassus Mechitza is that they agreed to make a wall. So then we could understand why no kinyan is required. Because they're referring to a tangible item. They're referring to the wall. But according to the Man D'Omer, that Hezek Ria Shmei Hezek. And therefore, as we've been learning, the definition, the way to understand the Mishnah, Hashut from Shirotu Lassus Mechitza, means that they agreed to divide. Ask the Gemara, division is something intangible, and therefore they should be able to retract. However, there are Rishonim that ask that even according to the opinion that Hezek Riyash Loish Mehezek, and our Mishnah is referring to the wall, still, since this wall is not yet in existence, the Gemara's question is, how could this obligation be considered a valid obligation when there is nothing yet tangible? Answers the Gemara. Again, we're going to try to learn the Gemara like the Mukhi Yosef. That our Mishnah, there is no kinyan. And if there's no kinyan, how come they can't retract? Answers the Gemara. Amrav Asi, Amrav Yochanan, the Mishnah is referring Shekana B'yodam, that there was a kinyan already made, and therefore they can't retract. Ask the Gemara, V'ki Kana B'yodam Mayhavi, even if we'll say that there was a kinyan Dvaram Ba'almahu, it should be considered a valid kinyan, and as we've been explaining, because it's only a kinyan that obligates them to do something in the future. And a kinyan that obligates them to do something in the future is not considered a valid kinyan. Answers the Gemara, Kishikana Miyadin Baruchas. They made it very specific. They decided which side will be yours and which side will be mine. That gives the kinyan a validity that they can't be able to retract. Rav Ashi gives a different explanation. He says that there was actually a valid kinyan, an active kinyan. Because as the Gemara says in Masechta Kedushin, one of the ways of making a kinyan on property is a kinyan chazaka, actually walking or doing something on that property. And what happened here was, indeed, Kigon Shahol Zeh B'tach Shalav Hechzik, one party walked on his part of the courtyard, creating a real act of kinyan. The Zebetach Shalav Hechzik, there was a real act of kinyan. There's a machloikas Rishonim. If it's required for this to be considered an act of kinyan, do both partners, each partner, have to walk on his side? Or if one walks on his side, that is enough that it should be considered a valid kinyan? As the Rishonim, Tosfos discusses this, the halacha is that for a kinyan chazaka to be valid, the person, the seller, has to say to the buyer, Lake chazek v'kni. So how come in our Gemara it's considered a valid kinyan where there was no lechazi chazek v'kni? So the Rashba explains that when is lechazek v'kni required? If I go and I sell you something that was not yours, but here they were both partners in the courtyard. They were just dividing the courtyard, where I taking one part and my partner taking the other part. Since we already had a shaychus, we already had a connection to this courtyard, lechazek v'kni is not required. Along the same lines, the Marich says the lechazek v'kni is only required by a buyer and a seller. Lechazek v'kni is not required in a situation of two partners. Demiri explains that the division, the agreement, how they will divide the property can serve in lieu of the statement of lechazek v'kni. And since here these two partners divided the property, that will be in lieu of saying lechazek v'kni. So we spoke in the Mishnah about the different materials that were used, that were used in the different dimensions regarding those materials in building the wall. Markum Shnagel Livnus. So identifies the Gemara. Gvil are Avne Dvoy Meshepia, are stones that weren't smooth. Gozes are Avne Dvoy, stones that were smooth, that were polished. The Ksiv, as we see in the Pasuk, call Ela Avonim Yukaris Kamidas Gozes. All of them were precious stones. This refers to the stones that were used for building the base of Migdash. Kamidas Gozes, that they were all polished. Kfisin are Archei, half-sized bricks. Levinim are Levni, full-sized bricks. Amalei of Abba the Ravler of Ashi. Mimai, why are we saying that Gvil is Avne Deloy Mishapyaninu? Gvil are stones that were not smoothed out. V'haytaf Chisera. And as we learned in the Mishnah, a wall made out of Gvil is 6 tfachim. A wall made out of Gozes is 5 tfachim wide. And now the Gemara is saying, V'haytaf Chisera. And the reason a Gvil wall is a tefach wider than a Gozes wall, L'mersh de Kornosa, because you have these protruding edges that weren't polished. Dilma, perhaps the way to understand Gvil and Gozes is that Gvil is Palgad the Gozesu, Gvil are half Gozes stones, and the way they're kept together is by cement, for high tefach yaseira, and that's why Gvil is a tefach wider than Gozes, lebnei urvihu, for the area between the two halves to put in the cement. And says the Gemara, actually, we see that's the way to understand something in the Mishnah regarding kfisin. Because we said kfisin are archi, kfisin are half-sized bricks, levenim are livni, are full-sized bricks. The width of a kfisin wall, our Mishnah said, is 4 tfachim. The width of a livni wall is 3 tfachim. For high tefach yisera, why is the kfisin wall, why is the Livni wall a tefach wider, lebeinei urbi, because you have to have cement to keep the half bricks together. Amalei or tamech. Let's try to understand what you're saying, says Rav Ashi to Rabba. Kfisi orch minolan. What makes you say that kfisin are half-sized bricks? Who tells you that's the way to understand it? El Gemara Gemirli. That's what you learned from your rebbes. That's your tradition. Says the Gemara, Gvil Nami, this that we're explaining, Gvil and Gozes, as polished bricks versus unpolished bricks, Gemara Gemirli. Ikad Amri, but now the Gemara gives a different version of this discussion. Amalei Rav Acha Berei, the Rav Abiel Rav Ashi, Maidai Kfisin Orchininu. What makes you say that Kfisin means half-sized bricks? V'hai Tefach Yaseira. And the reason a Kfisin wall is a Tefach wider than a Livni wall. Is for the area of the cement. Maybe we should understand kfisin meaning avne deloy mishapin, unpolished bricks. And the reason we need a thicker wall by kfisin is lamorsh de karasa, for the edges that protrude. Answers the Gemara. Kida karminin. Gvil, avne deloy mishapin. We explained that gmil means unsmooth bricks. Gavas, we explained, means avne de mishapin. So ask the Gemara, just like we explained the difference between Gvil and Gozes, meaning polished or unpolished, And we explained that the reason Gevilah is wider than Gazus, because you need a Tefach Yeserta Lemersh the Karnata for the protruding edges, why don't we explain Kfisin and Livni that way? Amalei. So Ravashi answers Rav Acha. L'tamech. Gvil avn d'lam shapri minon. You're assuming as for sure that Gvil means unpolished bricks. What makes you say that that's the definition? Gemar Gemirale. This is the tradition you had from your Rebbes. Hachinami, when it comes to Kfisin being half-sized bricks, and Livni meaning whole bricks, that's a Gemar Gemirale that I have as a Kabbalah, that's the way to understand the difference between Kfisin and Livni. Amar Abaya, Shmamina. From here we see, Kobnei Urbi, the area that you need for cement, when you're cementing two different items together, you need a Tefach. And that's why, that's the difference between Kfisin and Livni, you need that Tefach for the cement. However, says Abaya, Hani Mili, when is a Tefach needed for the cement? Betina, when the cement is made out of pure mud. Ava Berichsa, if the cement has impurities, like pebbles, stones, mixed into it, so it's not such a quality cement, by Tfei, you're going to need more than a Tefach. Vikidamri, but there's a different version that says just the opposite. Hanimili, when is a tefach required? Berichsa, by poor quality cement. Avatina, if you have cement that's made out of pure mud, loibai kulehai, and even less than a tefach will be adequate. Says the Gemara. So now we're learning that what are the dimensions of a wall made out of gauzes, made out of these polished bricks, out of these polished stones, 4 amas high, as the Gemara quoted in the previous year, the size of the wall to avoid the problem Hezekriya is 4 amas high, by a width of 5 tefachim. Lememra, which comes to teach us that because kol dala amas goiva, if you have a wall that's 4 amas high, I have a pusya chamish. If you have a width of 5 tefachim, koi, the wall will stand. Eloi, but if it's not that dimension, lois koi, it will not stand. Ask the Gemara for Amatraxin. The Amatraxin was the wall that separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. The reason it's called Traxin, because it's a combination of the words Troik Goli. Troik means to close. Close the gate. Troik Goli. Sin. So you should not be able to see the Sinai, the Luchos, which are in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He asked the Gemara, the dimension of the Amatraxin, where in the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, they had a real wall. They have a Gvoya Tlosset Amsa, the Beis HaMikdash was 30 Amas high, and the width of the Amatraxin was Elishis Pushchi. So we see that a 30 Amma wall, high wall, only needs a width of 6. So we see that the proportions aren't the common it stood. And here we're saying for 4 amas you need 5 tefachim. That isn't consistent. Answers the Gemara. Kivin de'ik tefach yaseira. Once you have 6 tefachim width, koi, it will be able to stand even when it's 30 amas high. Actually, Taisa says the Gemara could have said that since the top of this wall reached the ceiling, the Gemara in Amud Beis is going to say such a concept, it helps that the wall should be able to remain standing firm because the wall, the ceiling on top gives it supports. Ask the Gemara, "Umigdash Sheni, my tamaloi oven amatraxin." In the Migdash Sheni, they only had a curtain separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. Why didn't they make a wall? Answers the Gemara, ki koi betlosen koi. When can you have a wall that's just 6 tefachim wide stand when it's 30 amas tfei tall? When it's more than 30 amas tall, loy koi won't stand. And the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, the height of the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, was 100 amas tall, and that's why it couldn't stand. And as Rashi points out, there was no option of making the wall thicker, because the Gemara says that Ezra was given very exact instructions what should be done with every inch of the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and only 6 tefachim were available for building this, for having the Amitraskin. Asked Gemara, "Umnolan dav gvoy tefei." From where do we know that the Beis HaMikdash was so tall? Answers the Gemara, "Tiksib," because the pasuk says, "Lechagai gadol yir gvoy abayis hazeh achron min arishin." Rav Shmuel, v'amar el Rav Yochanan, Rav Elazar, charam v'binyan, that what made the second Beis HaMikdash greater than the first one, that it was taller, v'charam v'bishanim, in years. The second Beis HaMikdash stood 420 years. The first Beis HaMikdash stood 410 years. It says the Gemara, actually, v'yisalaha, v'yisalaha, both are correct. The Rav Yosef Engel explains what is the machlokes. The machlokes between these two opinions is, what do we follow? Do we follow quality or do we follow quantity? The Mandam says that what made the second Beis HaMikdash greater is that it lasted longer. Quantity is what to look at. The Mandam that says that it was taller is what made it greater, is the fact that it was taller. The quality of the Beis HaMikdash is what gave the second Beis HaMikdash gadol kvoido. Ask the Maral. We know that the Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash Rishon had the Urim V'Tumim, had the Orin, the Luchas, and all of these things were missing in the Bayis Rishon. So how could the Pasuk indicate that the Bayis HaMikdash Rishon, the Bayis HaMikdash Sheni, Gadol Kvoido, was greater than the Bayis HaMikdash Rishon? Answers the Maral. The greatness of the Bayis HaMikdash is not dependent on what comes from Shemayim, from the Orin and the Luchas. What makes the Bayis HaMikdash great is us being part of the Bayis HaMikdash. And since we had more in the second Beis HaMikdash, either because it lasted longer or because it was taller, that's what makes the second Beis HaMikdash gadol kvoidoi greater. But then the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. Our Gemara is saying that the pasuk that says gadol yir kvoid bayis achron, referring to the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. And the Beis HaMikdash Sheni is called Achron, this last Beis HaMikdash. But we know, and it's a very important part of our belief system, the Mashiach is coming, and the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi will come down from heaven. But here it seems that there won't be a Beis HaMikdash Shlishi. So some of us want to indicate that you could use the word Achron even when it doesn't mean the last. But it's a very difficult teretz, and they are proof that the word Achron means indeed last. So I saw two terutzim. One teretz is that the pasuk is only referring to batei mikdash that are built by humans. The Beis HaMikdash Shlishi will come down built by Minas Shamayim. So there, that's a whole different category. Another pshat is as follows. We know that the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi is really the tachlis, is the goal, that was the goal of the Briyas HaOlam, of the whole creation of the world, that we should have the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi. Not only that, the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi was actually already built and created Sheishes Shemei Abreishes, when the world was created, and it's standing and waiting to come down. If so, it turns out that the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi was really the first Beis HaMikdash. So now we can understand the Pasuk. Gadol yir kvoid bayis achron. The Pasuk is referring to the last Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi is Beis HaMikdash Sheni is actually the last Beis HaMikdash to be built. Because the Beis HaMikdash Shlishi, which actually we haven't, of course, unfortunately, yet seen, was the first Beis HaMikdash to be built. Then the second Beis HaMikdash to be built was the Beis HaMikdash Rishon. And then the last Beis HaMikdash that will be built is the Beis HaMikdash Sheni. And that's why the wording of the Pasuk, that's called Bayis Achron, is indeed appropriate. Ask the Gemara, continuing in trying to understand the way the Amitraskin should be built, the Nevetlosin Amar Rabinyan, we're saying that we can't build the wall, it won't last, it won't stand if it's so tall and only 6 tefachim high. So why don't we make part of it binyan, the first 30 amos, fidach, and on top of that, in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, we should have made proiches, a curtain. Answers the Gemara, Ki koi tlosan amso nami, when could it stand when it's 30 amos tall? Agav tikra meziv avakoi, because it was touching the ceiling, and that gave it a support. Here, where it won't go all the way up to the ceiling, but loy tikra meziva, it won't, loy avakoi, it won't be able to stand. Ask the Gemara, fine. You can't make it 30 amos tall, because you don't have the support of the ceiling. However, ask the Gemara, ulevid ma de efshir rabinyan, build as much as you can, even not 30 amas tall, v'leva idach proiches, and the rest you should make a curtain. Om Rabbi responds, Rabbi Gemira, we have a Kabbalah, equal of a binyan, equal of a proiches. The separation between the Kodesh and the Kodoshim has to be either entirely a wall or entirely a curtain. Either it should be entirely a wall, equal a binyan migdash, as it was in the base of migdash rishon, completely a wall, equal a pareches, or it should be entirely a pareches, as it was in the Mishkan. Says Tosfos, now that we have a bias teretz, we don't have to rely on the previous teretz that the Gemara made a distinction between. The Gemara said it makes a difference if it reaches the ceiling. All of that is no longer relevant. The point now being that since it's that tall, you can't have it half and half. Ibayluhu, ask the Gemara. We have been discussing the walls of the chatzah that's being built. Now on the wall, they used to also make a layer of sid, a plaster. So ask the Gemara, when we're giving these various shiurim, the question that comes up is, do we include, is the plaster included when we mention the shiur or not? Is the plaster included when you mention the shiur? Or is the plaster not included? Amma, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Mistaber, makes sense to say that when our Mishnah speaks about the walls, it's Hein V'Sidon, the plaster is included. Disak Datach Hein B'Loi Sidon, if we're going to say that the Mishnah is speaking about the wall and not including the plaster, list the shuri. Don't we need to know the width of the wall with the plaster? El Hashmam, no, it must be a Raya, Hein V'Sidon, that we're including the plaster. Says Mar Loi, that's not really a proof. Loilam, Eimelach, we could say that our Mishnah is referring B'Loi Sidon. However, kim de la tefach, since the thickness of the plaster is not a tefach wide, loy tani, our Mishnah is not speaking about measurements that are less than a tefach wide. Ask the Gemara, that's not true. For ktani, the Mishnah spoke about levenim, and when the Mishnah spoke about building a wall out of brick, the Mishnah says, zeh noisen tefach hamechza, the zeh noisen tefach hamechza. So you see that our Mishnah does speak about fractions of a tefach. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Chazalitz Tarufei, the two half tefachs combine to be three tefachim, which is a whole number. Here, the sid always remains a fraction of a tefach. Toshma, so Gemara brings a raya. Hakayra Shamru, the Mishnah says in Masechta Erevin that in order to be able to carry in a mavi in an alleyway, you have to make either a lechi or a kaira. A kaira is a cross beam. Is a cross beam that's put across the entrance of the mavi. And the Mishnah describes the dimensions of this kaira. Rechava kedei lekabel ariach, it has to be wide enough to accommodate a half-size brick. V'ariach chatzi levein shogim tefachim. And what is the size of an ariach? A half of a brick, which is three tefachim wide. Now we see that it's three tefachim without the plaster. Because the plaster is not a factor in the Gemara Masechta Erevin. We're not talking about actually building a wall. We're just talking about the size of bricks. Answers the Gemara. Hasam, that Mishnah is talking about Ravasa, large size bricks. Large size bricks are three tefachim wide, even without the plaster. But that's not necessarily a proof to our Mishnah, which is not necessarily speaking about these large bricks. Dekanami, the Ktani Shasholosh tefachim. Why does the Mishnah over there have to specify that the bricks are three tefachim wide? Beklal tikazutra, to teach us that there are smaller bricks, but for the kaira we have to use the larger bricks. And as the Rishonim explain, the entire concept of not being able to carry an amovi and needing a kaira to allow such carrying is only midrabbanan. And we know by the rabbanan we're always meikel, we're always more lenient. So the halach ought to be that we should be able to use the smaller bricks. The fact that the Mishnah goes out of the way and says the three tefach bricks, the Mishnah taught to teach us that even though logically we would say you only need the smaller brick, here Chazal told us to use the bigger brick. Shmami no. So our Mishnah is actually including the plaster, because our Mishnah is speaking about the smaller brick, and it's three tefach wide, because we're including the plaster. Amar of Chizda. Our Gemara now speaks about a new subject regarding the malishing a base a knesses, a shul. Vayesta inish be knishta, a person is not allowed to malish a shul, add the bunny be knishta achrita, until they build another shul. Actually, the Chasam Sofer and the Shaul Meshiv have a fundamental machloikis if the malishing a shul is not included in the Isser of Leisasin Kain L'Shem L'Keichen. And the Chasam Sofer says, certainly in a situation where you're demolishing the shul in order to build a new shul, or says the Chasam Sofer, since the halach is you can be paida, you could take the value of the shul and transfer the value on something else, the halach is that the din of Leisasin Kain L'Shem L'Keichen doesn't apply to a Beis HaKnesses. Other Achrayim, as I said, the Shalom Eishiv, says that it does apply to a Beis HaKnesses. The question comes up, the Chavina Rav discusses the question, where a question came to him, can holes be made in the walls of a shul because they wanted to pull in telephone wires? If we're saying that L'Sasakein L'Shem L'Keichem even applies to a shul, then it would be Aser. If not, perhaps to build the holes would be mutter. There's also machlokes achroinim regarding a base medrash. Does it have the same halacha or not? The Prima Gadim says that a base medrash has the same halacha as a base of knesses. The Mashag, the Shal Tshuvas Mashag, disagrees. He says that a base medrash is not treated like a base of knesses. Certainly, the Achrayim Paskin, when now, even though a Beis Medrash in certain ways has more Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses, we're not allowed to demolish a Beis HaKnesses in order to build a Beis Medrash. It also seems, and I saw the Sharm Tzion Halacha Paskins this way, that regarding a mikveh in a community, a mikveh certainly has the same din as a Beis HaKnesses, and you're not allowed to destroy it until you have another basic, without the proper halachas. Therefore, says the Gemara, Leilista inish be knishta, add the bani be knishta achrita, now I'll destroy shul until you build a new one. But there's a machlokes why. Ikad amri mishum shiosai. Some say because we're concerned that you will destroy the first basic knesses and you won't build a new one and you'll be left without a shul. Ikad amri mishum tzlui. You need a place where to daven. My benai, what's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? Ik benayah, dika beknishta chrita. When there is another shul. If the concern is that you don't have where to, that if you'll knock it down, you won't have where to daven, here you'll have where to daven. But if the concern is pshiosoi, that concern remains. Actually, there's a very fundamental machloikis rishainim, which leads to machloikis hachroinim. What is the proper girsan al gemara? What some Rishonim, the Rashba's girsa is dikad duchta achrita, that there is another place. Other Rishonim have a girsa beknishta achrita, that you have another standing shul. And what will be the nafkamina? If there's another place to daven, but it isn't a real shul, will you be allowed to demolish the first shul? The Taz says that if you have another place to daven, even though it isn't a full-fledged Beis HaKnesses, you could knock down the first shul. Whereas the Magen Avraham says, unless the other shul is beknishta, a full-fledged Beis HaKnesses, you can't demolish the first one. Says the Gemara, Mreimu Mazutra, Sansri Bani Beketa B'Sesuva, Mezutra Memari would build, would demolish and build a new summer shul during the winter, or Banabe Svus Bekaita, and they would build a new winter shul during the summer. So there's Machloikis, Taisus, and the Rishonim give two explanations. One, certainly the difference between the summer shul and the winter shul was that the summer shul had more windows, and the winter shul did not have windows. But the Machloikis says how to understand the Gemara. One pshat is that there were two different shuls. There was a shul that was a summer shul, and there was a shul that a winter shul. And they would be careful not to do the repairs on the summer shul until the winter came, when they didn't use that shul. And vice versa, they would do the repairs on the winter shul during the summer when they were using the summer shul. However, others explain that they were actually one edifice, and the shul, the summer shul that had all these windows, had to have those windows closed up in the winter, and vice versa, had the windows opened up in the summer, but since you couldn't daven because of the heat or the cold, they were allowed to do this. Now the Gemara goes back. The Gemara says that we said before that we are concerned that a person, if we knock down the shul, they may come to Pshiusoi to not rebuild the shul. So therefore, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Gavas Zodri Machsi, if they already collected money for the new construction, and it's deposited, Mai, what will be the halacha? Do we have to be concerned that they're not going to build the new shul? Or given the fact that they already collected the funds, they could build a new shul. Amalei, the halacha is, we're concerned, Dilma, Misramalei, Pidyon Shvuyim, there's a concern that there's going to be Pidyon Shvuyim mitzvah come up, the Yavala, and they're going to give away the money. So even if the funds were already collected, you can't demolish the old shul until the new shul is built. Says the Gemara, not only have we collected the funds, but Srigi Livni, we already collected bricks and the stack, the Hadri Hudri Machsi Kishuri, and the beams are all ready. Are we at that point allowed to demolish the first shul? Mai. Amalei. Even at that point, we have to be concerned. Zimnin, the Misamalei Pidyon Shvuyim, that maybe there's going to be a Pidyon Shvuyim mitzvah come up, and therefore, Mizabni v'yavalu, and you can't demolish the first shul. Ask the Gemara, Yachi, afilu banu nami, even if they already built the shul, why are we not concerned that they're going to sell it to raise money for the Pidyon Shvuyim, if this is such a great concern, because it's such an important mitzvah? Amalei, dirasu de inchalei mizabni. People don't sell their shul, their home. So once the shul has been erected, we're not concerned that even though there's such a great mitzvah, Pidyon Shvuyim, coming up, that people will sell the shul. So Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Does the Gemara mean to say that people would not sell the shul? But it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to sell the shul. Maybe you are allowed to sell the shul for the mitzvah Pidyon Shvuyim. Or is the way to understand the Gemara that you're allowed to, you're not even allowed to. A shul may not be sold, as important the mitzvah Pidyon Shvuyim is, you're not allowed to sell a shul to fulfill that mitzvah. However, says the Gemara, that we haven't seen any cracks in the old shul structure. Once we see cracks, so now there's a question that it's going to collapse and it could be dangerous. The halach is sasri bani. They could knock down the old shul and build a new one. And the Paiskim say, included in the category of sasri tiyua is if the neighborhood changed and the neighborhood where the shul existed changed and you can't live there anymore, that also is included in the category of chazabei tiyua. Says the Gemara, ki hader of Ashi, chazabei tiyua beknishta de masa mechasya, they saw cracks in the shul of masa mechasya, sasre, so they immediately demolished it. However, v'ayel l'poryo l'hosom, Rav Ashi brought his bed in there, and he didn't remove it, Adam sakan leshvichi, until the entire new shul was repaired, even the gutters and leaders. And Taisus discusses how are you allowed to bring a bed into a shul. The halach is batik neseus ein yishen behem loishinus kvai for loishinus arai. So Taisus says he didn't actually bring it into the shul. He brought it into one of the rooms nearby, that he could keep an eye on what's going on. Another pshat is that That halacha only is regarding Batei Knesses in Eretz Yisrael. But Batei Knesses in Bavel al Tanaim Heim Benuyim are built on condition that if necessary, you could be able to sleep there. Another pshat is that since the entire purpose, why you're not allowed to sleep in a shul? Because it's a lack of proper respect. He was bringing this in for the purpose of covet for the shul, to make sure that it would be rebuilt properly and in a timely fashion. So that's covet based Knesses, and covet based Knesses is certainly mutter. Another pshat is he didn't even bring it into that edifice. He moved next to the shul, so he should be able to keep an eye on what's going on. Ask the Gemara, Baba Ben Buta, Hecha Azbalay Eitzelah Hordus, the mystery basic Migdash, how did Baba Ben Buta give Hordus advice to destroy the basic Migdash? From Rav Chisda, La Lista Inish Beit Knishta, you know how to destroy basic Knesses, Adabana Beit Knishta Chrita, Hordus destroyed the basic Migdash in order to rebuild it. Ibai Seima, Tiyor Chazabay, he saw cracks in it. Ibai Seima, and that's why it had to be immediately repaired. Ibai Seima, Malchus Hashanai. Hordus was a king. By king, we're now worried that Lahadra Beide is going to retract. Dama Shmuel, Yama Malchus Akronaturi. If a king says, I'm going to uproot a mountain, Akaturi of Lahadra Beide, he'll do what he promised. But ask the Mefarshim, even if we're not worried that the base, he's going to fulfill what he said, but why are we not concerned about the karbonos that will be missing during the time of the repair? So Mefarshim say that Hordus, that they put a mechitza, they put a temporary mechitza around the entire area of the Beis HaMikdash, and that gave them the ability to continue bringing karbonos. Says the Gemara, since we speak about Hordus, says the Gemara, Hordus after the Beis Chashmonai Ava. Hordus was an Eved in the house of the Chashmonai, nice anabais, and he killed out all the Chashmonai. Nice anabais to Noikus, but he wanted to marry this girl from that family, because he knew that if he'll marry this girl, he was an Eved, but if he marries this girl, that will take away the taint of his Yichus. He heard a Bas Kol that said, any Eved that will rebel now will succeed. Machlaikas, it was a real Bas Kol, or he heard this through sorcery. He killed out all of the Chashmonai. He just left over this one girl, because, as the Gemara explains in the Masechta Gittin, says the Marsha, that if somebody is, if Eved is owned by a girl, by marrying the girl, he automatically is freed. When this girl saw what he wants to do, she went up to the roof, whoever will say, he must be an Eved. I'm the only survivor of this family, and I am committed suicide. And the Pesach want to suggest that from here we see that under certain circumstances, suicide is permitted. Tamna Shavashimna Bedufsha. So Hordus went and took this girl and preserved her in honey for 7 years. Ikadamri Bala, he had relations with the corpse. Ikadamri Loy Bala. Damri Loy Bala, Hada Tamne, Lisuvali Yatsre. He only did it to satisfy his desire. Udamri Loy Bala, Hide the Tamni Ka'echad Naimru, Basmelech Nasif. People won't know that she died, and they'll assume that he married her, and that his children came from her, and therefore her children are proper Yichas. Amma, man darish bekarf alachecha to simelach. Who's the one that says that only a born Jew, not an Eved, could be a king? Rabbonim, kam ketlin al kula rabbonim. So Hordus, who was upset about this, killed all the rabbonim. However, shafki lebaba ben Buta, he left over Baba ben Buta lemishkal etzmenei. Why did he pick to leave Baba ben Buta over all the other chachamim? Explained the Mefarshim, because Baba Ben Buta was known to be a very soft person, a person that wouldn't get into arguments, and therefore he knew that even though Baba Ben Buta certainly did not agree with what he did by assuming the monarchy, but he's the person that's least likely to protest.